Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Friday. Lots of stuff going on as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful as always. And so I want you guys to know that hopefully my iPhone and my iPads and my electronic broadcasting equipment will all stay up today so I can continue to pull new stories up. Seems odd to me, Austin. It seems like every time we get to a really good show that's really clicking, all of a sudden something happens. Either I'm on Hagman or on this show, and suddenly everything goes down like it did yesterday. So we're just going to believe God that's not going to happen today. And I rebooted everything up again. It took, by the way, almost 22 hours to reboot my systems up. So that was fun. I really enjoyed that. What's your first story for today, buddy?
Yeah. Well, this first one's involving cancer drugs now that have continued to skyrocket in pricing over the years, but yet have failed to show any type of actual success. They're saying now that cancer drugs cost patients on average a staggering of $171,000 a year, according to the Center for Health Policy and Outcomes of New York's Memorial Cancer Center. But in a lot of cases, these cripplingly expensive drugs offer only marginal benefits with no proof that they improve either survival rates or quality of life. According to Kaiser Health News, a push by patient advocates for early access to cancer medications now has led the FDA to approve a new roster of oncology drugs, and a few have fulfilled their hoped for goal, that of allowing patients with limited life expectancies to survive for years. In fact, experts are now saying that the overall cancer survival rates have barely changed at all in the last decade, in spite of all the cancer treatments billed as cutting edge and state of the art. Not only are the vast majority of oncology drugs ineffective, but in many cases, the price of the medication has absolutely no relationship to how well the drugs work, they stated. For instance, one of the most expensive cancer drugs on the market is one of the worst records when it comes to improving the life of cancer patients. And I want to bring this up just to kind of keep everybody reminded that most of this stuff, a lot of these drugs they come out with, they have absolutely no idea nor really any true intention on extending life, saving lives, preventing cancer, killing cancer, curing cancer, whatever they want to say about it, on any of that. It's simply what they can come out with and get enough backing to be able to produce and get it FDA approved so they can put it on the market and charge literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases from some of these cycles for cancer fighting drugs. And it really is turning essentially a racket now, because I've said before, and Dad said this, we've said this for years, cancer is not really a disease anymore in the hospital or the pharmacology's eyes. It is a business. It is essentially a platform to make more money. Their main goal is to keep people alive if they can, to keep milking them for more money. But a lot of these drugs now, they're finding that they're so expensive and they really have little effect at all on positive benefits. There's really no reason at all why anybody should go after a lot of these drugs. There's a lot of natural approaches you can do, as Dad and I have seen many of times, to help people's immune systems before going to these unbelievably expensive drugs that a lot of times don't even work, Dad.
Years ago, I had a friend of mine, his name's Kevin, and he had a son who was diagnosed with brain cancer up in Colorado, and they went in and opened him up. He actually passed out while riding his bicycle. They did an MRI on him, and he had a baseball-sized tumor in his brain. And they removed the tumor. It was a glial tumor like John McCain's, and had the tentacles that already spread. And they gave him like 90 days to live, maybe 120, maybe 6 months. But they were talking $1 million for the treatment, and they said it wouldn't work. The final outcome was dead. Everything they said was he's going to be dead, get his finances prepared, get the funeral prepared, he's going to die. Well, he worked with a doctor out there in Colorado and another one in North Carolina, South Carolina, and another one here in Florida, and they put him on a really heavy nutrition protocol, including vitamin C intravenously, like 2 to 3 times a week. And that's been 2-3 years ago now, and the kid's doing great, no sign of cancer. Now, the interesting thing about this is he didn't spend $1 million like they said he may spend. He's probably spent, probably $20,000-$30,000 over the last 3 or 4 years, with supplements and eating clean. The sad part about it is these types of protocols aren't available to everybody. And a lot of people go in and they have these types of things done to them, and they don't expend their life. They don't extend their life expectancy, but all they do is really leave a huge debt pile for the people coming up behind them. That's why in many cases when a person's in the hospital with these types of diseases, they can't sign themselves in without a other signature on the account with them. In other words, they're going to force the spouse or a loved one or somebody else who's involved with them to sign the paperwork that they're going to be responsible for the bills. That's what they do because they see cancer as a massive revenue stream. The Financial Times a few years ago, they ran an article, and I've quoted it many times, and I'll just paraphrase it now. It said that they're trying to develop cancer drugs like they have with diabetes drugs. It'll keep the people on the cancer drugs for years, if not decades, to massively increase the profits to the corporations. Again, it's not about curing the cancer. It's become an industry bringing in hundreds of billions of dollars a year, employing hundreds of thousands of people in the treatment of cancer with little hope being held out for a cure. They don't do that in Germany. They really try to cure people in Germany because they don't care about alternative health care in Germany. They do the vitamin C, IVs, and a bunch of other things. The problem is our insurance won't cover you over there. This is one of the big problems with Obamacare. Obamacare will go in and they'll take care of some of the cases of people who have pre-existing conditions with cancer, but only from a medical model standpoint, and they won't cover anything from a natural standpoint. We've had so many people call us up before, Austin, and they wanted to know if they could have, if their health insurance would cover supplementation. We always tell them, no, it won't do that. It's not going to cover prevention. But the reality is that we need to realize that even if we're spending $50 or $100 a month or $200 a month on supplements, it's well worth the money from the health standpoint because, guys, you don't want to be laying on your deathbed, you know, and wondering if you could have done anything else from a health standpoint as far as why you're dying of cancer or heart disease or diabetes. I remember a couple of years ago I had a good friend of mine call me from South Africa, and he had a friend of his there who was a billionaire. Now, you heard me right. That's not a millionaire, a billionaire. B as in big. B as in B-I-L-L-I-O-N. He's a multi-billionaire. And I remember he called me up from South Africa, and he wanted to know what he could do for his immune system. And I talked to him, and I was real nice to him, and I gave him a price on some stuff as far as what we could do and ship it to South Africa. The shipping to South Africa alone was thousands of dollars. It was crazy how expensive it was. And he chose not to spend the money. He chose to go ahead and go the conventional route as far as, you know, with his health, and ended up being dead. And he died. Died with billions of dollars in the bank. So the question is simply this. You know, what's it worth to you? What's your health worth? I mean, people go out and spend $200, $300, $400 on a pair of tennis shoes, which I think is a complete and total waste of money. And they'll replace those shoes or have a whole closet full of those shoes. And they'll go out and spend $20, $30, $40, $50, $100 for dinner. Maybe $200 they go out to a fancy place for them and their family. Maybe $300 if they really want to splurge, which is ridiculous, again, spending money on food like that. But they won't consider, you know, taking supplements on a daily basis. Yesterday, Austin, I went to a place to have some, we went to Frame and Axle Shop. And I remember I met you over there, and the lady behind there was wearing compression stockings, and she'd already had a mini stroke. She was 72 years old. I started talking to her about her health. She's also had ventricular fibrillation with her heart. I started telling her natural supplements and natural approaches she could do in order to get her circulation back into order, help prevent any additional strokes, and help her heart to pump better. And she goes, oh, that sounds very interesting. And she walked away, ignored us, and started doing paperwork and didn't even get information on who we were, a phone number, or anything. Because, see, it wasn't something that was important to her. The problem with mainstream medicine, and Rockefeller medicine is what it is, they've done such an effective job in making you believe that the doctors are gods and that these doctors can do no wrong. And they have the power of life and death in their hands over you, and they can say and do anything, and we're supposed to just blindly accept it like a serf, or like we're in a feudal system, and these guys are the aristocracy, and we're just supposed to shut up and listen to them. Guys, as far as I'm concerned, those days are over with. You question everything your doctor tells you. You get multiple opinions, and you find out what you want to do from a health standpoint. Because the worst thing you can do if you're diagnosed with some type of disease is going through some type of extensive protocol with drugs and chemicals that are going to poison your liver and then turn around, destroy your liver, and decide after a year of treatment with poisons that now you want to start eating right. I mean, that's the problem, because now the eating right has to correct all the damage done from all the drugs. I have another friend of mine who's a medical doctor over in Lakeland. He works with a lot of cancer patients, and he says he doesn't have a real good success rate in working with these patients and getting them help, because he says 90% of them, when they show up at his office, they've already been through the chemotherapy, they've already been through the radiation, they've already been through the surgery, they've been sent home to die. There's no place else for them to turn besides now conventional, you know, not unconventional medicine, or you should say natural medicine. And the craziest part about all that is to me, it makes sense if you kind of eat. I heard Dr. Bruce Miller say something one time, a long, long time ago. He said something very succinctly. He goes, if you have diabetes and you start eating correctly, adult onset diabetes, and your diabetes goes away and you no longer have diabetes, he goes, doesn't it make sense that had you eaten the correct way to start with, you never would have come down with diabetes to begin with? And that's very simple logic that makes a lot of sense, that most people never think through that. They're not realizing that they're 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200, 300, 400 pounds overweight, living on bonbons and, you know, and coffee and junk food and sugar, which is as addictive as cocaine, actually more so. And they're eating all of this junk food on an ongoing basis, and they're wondering why they feel so awful. They wonder why their health is so bad, but yet they're unwilling to make the simple steps to change. That's why when I talk to people about health and they're not willing to listen, I'm not going to pay any attention to them. I had a guy that I was working with up in North Carolina, a good guy, a friend of mine, and he won't stop using chewable tobacco, and he has really elevated blood sugars. And the problem with that is that that nicotine really stimulates the liver to release sugar. And it's very difficult to control your blood sugar if you're using smokeless tobacco. It's just what happens. You say, well, it shouldn't be that way. Well, I know it shouldn't be that way, but that's just the way it is. I can't help with the way it is. It's like Jim Rohn used to say, R-O-H-N, a good friend of mine. You listen to him on YouTube. He used to say, you got to be careful with idle conversation. He goes, a lot of people say things that they want you to give them a response on, but there's really no response to it. And his example is always, people come up to him and say, well, liars shouldn't lie. He goes, well, that's just idle conversation. He says, that's what they do. They lie. That's why they're called liars. And you guys, we've all been exposed to those types of people. So just be really careful when you choose medical help to make sure that the people you want to talk to that are helping you are the ones that are going to give you the natural approach first. You can always do the drugs. You can always do the chemotherapy, therapy. You can always do the surgery. You can always do all that stuff if you want. But guys, to me, it just makes sense to let your body, while it's still as healthy as it is, before you destroy it with chemotherapy, which are chemicals, radiation, which is burning it, before you burn it and poison it and cut it all up to try to let it fix itself after all that, try a natural approach first. By the way, Spain has sent 16,000 riot police into Barcelona to prevent a vote for independence. Catalonia, which is a district of Spain, it's like a state in the northeast corner up on the Mediterranean, right close to France, has had enough of being part of Spain. Spain is a wreck. The entire economy is a wreck. Catalonia is basically about $15 to $16 billion a year in the red from what they're giving to Spain versus what they're getting back from Spain. So they decided they're going to declare independence, but that's simply not going to happen according to Spain. In an effort to stop the October the 1st referendum for the independence of Catalonia, Spain has gone into Catalonia now and seized the finances of Catalonia, confiscated ballots and campaign materials, and arrested senior officials. I mean, they don't want to lose the revenue stream coming from Catalonia, which is on the Mediterranean, which is a major tourist spot in Spain. Efforts by Madrid to stop Catalonia independence vote, currently slated for October 1st, has been growing more and more hostile every single day. This is what happens when you have an overreaching federal bureaucracy that doesn't want to lose the revenue stream created by states. This is why it's going to be very difficult for Texas to secede from the union, which they've wanted to do for years and years and years, simply because the federal government won't allow it. They'll send the troops back in, do whatever they need to do to stop it. The guys out in California, they're trying to get these referendums going and all the things that they're trying to do. But what would happen suddenly if the San Andreas Fault split open and all of a sudden California was in dire need of federal aid and assistance? I mean, the federal government being run by the Sabbatean Kabbalists, nothing matters to them. Look what happened in Puerto Rico. And think about this for just a second. I want to bring this up on the show today, Austin. When 9/11 happened, when the Solomon Building went down, which is Building 7, and it was destroyed, it had all the physical evidence in that building from Enron and all of the shenanigans that these international bankers and these people had done as far as bilking hundreds of billions of dollars from people all over the country as far as utility bills was destroyed. And, you know, Ken LaHaye was the only person who was basically prosecuted after that because all the records were destroyed. There were all kinds of records that were destroyed in 9/11. Also the vaults. No one will talk about what happened to all the gold that was in the vaults under 9/11. But then we're told that there were giant trucks removing the gold before 9/11 happened. So all of this stuff was inside jobs, and suddenly the gold disappears. Well, it's a metal. It should have still been down there when they dug it up, but it wasn't. What's interesting about all of this is, think through this for a second. Where was the IRS incorporated, Austin? Do you remember?
Puerto Rico.
That's right.
Yep.
I can guarantee you all the records and all the shenanigans and all the mess that's going on down there, I guarantee you all of those records are destroyed. So what else was being housed down there in the vaults in Puerto Rico that's now underwater and all that paper is destroyed? So think through. You got to think through what these guys are doing and why they picked that island to completely almost submerge, wipe the trees off of it, wipe most of the buildings off of it, knock the utilities completely out of it. Because now no matter what happens, if somebody goes in and says, we need to audit those. Because remember, this Federal Reserve System now has spent the last 100 years sucking the life out of this country, like a dying patient pulling its blood out. It doesn't want to leave a paper trail. It doesn't want to do that. It doesn't want people to go back 100 years and find out how this stuff was put together in 1913. It doesn't want that. It wants all of those records destroyed. And guys, interesting to me, Puerto Rico took it like that. What's your next story, Austin? What do you think?
Very, very good observation. I completely forgot all about that. I've even talked about that myself and how the whole aspect of the Federal Reserve and the IRS are beyond unconstitutional. And one of those aspects is, yes, IRS was based in Puerto Rico. That's where they started it. That's where it's based out of. That's where it's been based out of for over 100 years. And that is a really, really, really strong point you just made, because you're absolutely right. What they're getting ready to do with the digital currency, what they're getting ready to do with imploding the economy, they don't want those books to ever be seen by anybody. They don't want to see those accounting sheets ever show up anywhere in history. They want to completely strip those off the face of the planet. And as you just said, that's the easiest way to do that. Now, whoop, island got hit by a natural disaster. Sorry, we have to start over now. We need a new base for the Federal Reserve. We need a new base for the IRS. We need to start a whole new world currency now because this happened. Sorry, it's a natural disaster. Had no way of stopping this. But what a very, very... Yeah, I didn't even think about that until you just said that, bud. That's pretty wild. And now, as we've seen this massive push for a digital currency that they're doing, we already know the U.S. dollar is on its way out. There's no question about that. I mean, you see with Venezuela saying they're not doing anything with dollars and trading oil anymore. You see Russia now giving orders by the beginning of next year, everything in the ports is going to be traded in rubles. You see China that they're already talking about that. All these countries are already phasing out the U.S. dollar. The Federal Reserve globalists, they already know this. They're not stupid. They work on these 100-year plans, multi-100-year plans. This isn't one of those, oh my gosh, they blindsided us. We had no idea this was ever going to happen. They work on this for hundreds of years. They know exactly what's about to happen. And as Dad just said, they've milked the country for the last 100 years now, unconstitutionally levying taxes against the American public. I mean, you guys look at it. Does anybody, our taxes don't go to anything. If we actually, our taxes truly went to paving roads, if our taxes went to building schools, if our taxes went to helping all the aspects of the federal government, how would the federal government still continue to be able to function right now on like a $700 billion a year deficit? How could it do it? How could it possibly do that? If you are trying to pay your bills and you're making $100,000 a year, but your bills for the entire year are $180,000 a year, how do you continue to pay your bills? You have to get credit cards, you have to get loans, you have to get cash advances. Well, there's a certain point in time you're going to max all of those out, continually trying to operate at $180,000 a year expenditure on $100,000 a year income. And in most people's lives, that would only last much more than a year or two before everything would implode. Maybe if you're really good at bamboozling credit card companies, you could extend it a little bit longer. Well, the United States has been doing it for 100 years now, and really essentially operating in a deficit for decades upon decades, but yet they're still continuing to do it. So if our taxes were actually going to something, if they were building roadways, how are we still building roadways? How are we still building schools? How are we building a wall? How are we doing all this stuff? We're continuing to take loans from the Federal Reserve. That's why the Federal Reserve owns this country. They've done this on purpose. That's why the 38 or 40% income tax bracket that we have in the United States is beyond unconstitutional. When they started out, it was a 1% flat tax. When IRS was built after the Federal Reserve and it was based out of Puerto Rico, they taxed the American populace 1%. Everybody had a flat 1% tax. You see how that's worked out for us now. It's grown and grown and grown and grown slowly to the point now where if you're in that upper tax bracket with Social Security and Medicaid and payroll and everything else you pay in there, you end up paying 50, 60% of your entire gross right taxes immediately. Bam, right off the top. You make $200,000 that year, you end up coming home, you know, with maybe 80, 90 after you end up paying all these taxes. That's not what the United States was built on. That's not what the constitutional founding fathers ever desired for this country, but that's what the Sabbateans and that's what the globalists have done now with the Federal Reserve. So really, really good point with that, Dad. I'm very intrigued with this now. I'm going to have to start doing a lot of research on what happened down in Puerto Rico as far as what they're going to say now about the IRS base down there.
Synagogue of Satan, Austin, is what Revelation calls it. Synagogue of Satan. Babylonian money lenders. Now we call them Sabbateans.
Money magic.
And they're basically Babylonian money magic. By the way, the anti-communists, the Antifa guys, these Antifa communists say now are saying that liberals get the bullet too. There you go. Tim Pool, an independent journalist who has covered protests including Occupy Wall Street and Ferguson riots, says that the majority of the violent protesters are Antifa communists. The common thread for these groups is a desire to take down the United States government as a whole. An example is when they chant, "No Trump, no wall, no USA at all." Poole says the radical left despises liberals and have said, "Liberals get the bullet too." Guys, remember this happened in the Russian Revolution and all the guys who were involved in it got themselves shot as soon as the government was overthrown and Lenin took power. This is exactly what they're going to do again with the people if they get the United States overthrown and they put this communist group in there. Guys, it's like another turning with the economy. The United States, as far as, and Austin covered this in such good detail yesterday, the United States has had its run now as being the dominant currency of the planet, hyperinflating our own currency, borrowing things that we don't have to impress people we don't know. I mean, Trump just last week approved another $75 million to Israel. And I'm not picking on Israel. There are billions going out every year all over the place to all these other countries. But yet he doesn't have money for FEMA and money for relief of the people in Houston or money for the relief of the people in Florida. And here's why I say that. Right now, right here in FEMA in the United States, they still haven't turned loose the funds for them to start picking up all these broken and dead trees that are everywhere. It's not there. The trees are still laying just like they laid 2 weeks ago. They're all laying in the same place. They're piled up on the sides of the road. FEMA hasn't released the money. A lot of the people were put into hotels to start with by FEMA. Now FEMA says they're no longer going to keep those people in the hotels. We saw that on the news last night. These people's homes were destroyed. Trees fell on them. They were blown away, torn apart. They have nowhere to go. FEMA came in to help them initially. Now they're being thrown out of the hotels here in Central Florida. Austin talked about this yesterday too. Literally every single hotel in Florida right now either has people coming in on power lines staying in the hotels or people that have been displaced staying in the hotels. It's literally impossible to get a hotel in Central Florida right now that's a decent hotel unless you just want to go to a Roach Motel, which they're awful. I've been in those before. They're nasty. But guys, it's so important that we understand that we're coming to the end. Trump's going to be used as a scapegoat because he's a white nationalist, right? He wants the United States first. They're going to use him as a scapegoat. Watch what happens to him. And they're going to blame that he's the one that caused all of this. He didn't do diddly squat. The United States was taken over in 1934 by the Exchange Stability Fund, which is part of the IRS, which is part of the Federal Reserve System, which seized the money and the gold through FDR, who was a communist. And yes, I'm saying that. His wife was a Satanist, and he was a communist. And Hillary Clinton talks to his dead wife on a regular basis, according in their, it's called the Verbindung in German. She goes in these trances and speaks to his dead wife. You think I'm making it up? Look it up. Bill Clinton has talked about how Hillary goes into a trance and speaks to Eleanor Roosevelt. These guys are a bunch of sickos, man. Then what happened is, in 1934, when the Exchange Stability Fund came in, they took over the Treasury of the United States and just started writing checks. Then by 1945, 1947, the OSS became the CIA, and we went into the deep state. And the deep state started taking over the government at that point to cover up what happened at Roswell. That's what happened with Roswell and also what was going on with what was happening in Europe with the Germans that were left after World War II setting up sleeper cells, masquerading as communists that had to be funded through the sale of drugs through the Cambodian Triangle. By 1962-63, when President Kennedy was in power, he saw what had happened to the United States just within a short period of time and knew he had to fix it. I mean, less than 20 years. I mean, you're talking 47 to, what, 63? Not in 20 years. And what ended up happening is he said, enough of this. I'm going to expose this. We're getting rid of the CIA. We've had enough of it. And, of course, he finds himself dead. That's when they did the full hardcore coup, the hard coup against the country right there. From that point in time, there were two separate governments in the United States. The deep state, which ran everything, that funded itself through narco money. The deep state that basically did whatever it wanted to do through the money it printed through the Exchange Stability Fund through the Treasury. The deep state that controlled all the breakaway civilization technology. And that's what they've done. Now, when we had Nixon come in, he was as crooked as Johnson was. Johnson was a complete lowlife. He was completely involved in the assassination of Kennedy. Nixon came in. He was another crook. Then we had Carter came in. He was a nice guy, Christian man, complete do-nothing as far as in the White House, didn't know what he was doing. Then we had Reagan come in, and Reagan was shot almost immediately after the month or so after in the office because they wanted to put George Bush's vice president, who was head of the CIA, who was also involved, by the way, in my opinion, in the Kennedy assassination. Now, all of this stuff happened. Then we had Bush, then it went to Clinton, then it went back to, you know, then it went back to Bush again, and then it went back to Obama, and they tried their best to put another Clinton in. We'd had like 40 years of this mess going on, and this is where we are right now. This deep state, this Sabbatean group that's run the chemtrails, that's run the pharmacia, that's bought the company up, the country up with their money that they printed out of nothing through the Fortune 500 corporations and their interlocking corporate directorships and stock purchases, they control it all now. So they've already extracted the wealth out of the United States. They've already sucked the blood out of it, and that's why everybody's in such incredibly deep debt. The problem is that now the country's done, and it's time for another cycle to start. The next cycle is going to be China. And they're going to do the same thing with China, because remember, the Rothschild Bank controls the state, controls the bank in China also. They controlled it in Russia at one time. I'm not sure if they're still in there or not. Putin may have tossed them out, and China may be tossing them out too. I don't know, because they've seen what they've done to the United States. So these guys have to go. That's why I said last year when Donald Trump got elected, I said, we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. We've got to cut these guys off the knees from having the ability to borrow money at will and print money at will to fund themselves. If we can do that, we can get our country back. But nobody's thinking about the $1.3, $1.5 trillion of narco money that's coming in every year to fund the CIA and the Mossad and the Black Ops. So even if we cut them off at the knees, they still have their entire organized crime network set up right now that's running independently. And they can start trading that in rubles or in yuan or any of the currency they want, Austin, and still continue with the narco money, which has crippled our country, crippling the world, and it's destroying economies everywhere because it's taking so many productive people out of the workforce who are now hooked on opioids. Guys, this is a major, major problem. So we've got to all continue to pray that this thing continues to get exposed and that Donald Trump can try to do what he said he was going to do and get this stuff taken care of as quickly as possible and stay alive in the process, Austin. What do you think?
Amen to that. Absolutely. And you're exactly right. They've got this thing essentially self-revolving now, where the income tax that they're unconstitutionally levying on us now continually, as they've done for 100 years, it's pretty much just added money. It's just fun money. That's really what it is. As I said before, it doesn't go to anything now. They're having to loan money all the time now just to keep everything running. That's why there's this constant talk all the time about the budget and everything else, because $600-700 billion year deficit. But anyways, in other news now, as far as Uber has got themselves in hot water in London, England. England now has banned Uber in response to the skyrocketing rapes by migrant drivers, which the company did not report to the police. According to the Transport for London, Uber license will not be renewed beyond September 30th. With the first reason listed being the company's approach to reporting serious criminal offenses. This includes Uber's failure to report rising number of rapes and sexual assaults by its own drivers. The latest figures show that Uber drivers are now responsible for at least one sexual attack in London every single week, with sexual assaults by Uber drivers skyrocketing by almost 60% in just the last year. They're saying that many of these Uber drivers are newly arrived migrants or refugees who do not have to go the intensive training that traditional cabbies go through. Uber has been made aware of criminal activity and yet has not informed the police. In one case, Uber continued to employ a driver known to have committed a sexual assault against a woman, but again, the same man went on later to attack another woman while he was operating under Uber. Uber taxis are also not required to have CCTVs installed in the back of their car like regular cabs, putting young women at greater risk. Regular cabbies are predominantly white working class men, it says in the article, whereas Uber drivers are almost mostly Muslim migrants. Now in London, according to the Transport for London, the majority of cab drivers are white British of regular cabbie drivers, despite the demographic designation itself now being a minority in England's capital city. Well, I just said there, according to Transport for London, white British males now are now the a minority in London City. How sad is that? But now Uber's got themselves in a bunch of hot water for not reporting this stuff at all after rape after rape after rape has occurred under their watch and they've done nothing about it, Dad. That looks really, really poorly on the morals and ethics of that company.
Multiculturalism at work. There you go.
Yeah.
That's what these guys were doing over there in Greece when I was there and I was speaking to the people living there. They were having their rape squads going out inside of their little areas over there and basically raping little boys. And I remember the cab driver looked at me or the Uber driver looked at me and said, that's multiculturalism at work. The cab number, let's start with the cabs in London. I've been in cabs in London. It's the most expensive cab ride I've ever had in my whole life. I mean, it's almost to the point of being ludicrous. You get in a cab, the meter drop is £7. At that time, it was 2-1. So the meter drop is almost $14. So as soon as you get in, the first half mile, first quarter mile is $14. Snap. Okay? And then it's like another $7 or $8 a mile after that. You go on a 4 or 5 mile ride in a taxi in London downtown, you'll bust $50. I mean, it's that fast. I mean, it's that quick, $50, $60, $70. I remember one time we got in a taxi. Well, you were young, Austin. And we were over there, and we got in a taxi. We didn't know what it was like. I watched that meter drop at 7-8 pounds. I said, what the heck is that? He goes, that's the meter drop. I said, well, how much is it going to cost to go to this place? It was like a mile away. He goes, oh, that'll probably be $30 or $40. I'm like, whoa, stop. Let me out of this cab. I said, this is stupid. That's why Uber has made such a huge inroad into the cab market and into this market in London. Now, here's the problem. Number one. A lot of that revenue from the taxis is being paid back into the government. When it gets paid through Uber drivers, a lot of that goes unreported. We don't know for sure if this is really happening with these drivers from Uber in London or if this is something that's going to be made up by the Rothschild mainstream news in London, which is controlled over there also because they were trying to keep the revenue stream going for the taxes that are coming in from the taxi drivers. The taxis in London are a major source of revenue for Great Britain, and quite frankly, I'm not saying that these Uber drivers have never done anything wrong, but I've been in a bunch of Uber cars all over the place. I've never had a single Muslim one time drive an Uber car when I was in Greece, but that doesn't mean I would not have a Muslim driving it in London. But what's interesting was when I was in Germany last year, I had to go from the hotel to the airport, and this is like a 20-minute ride. It was €100 for this 20-minute ride. I couldn't believe how expensive the cab driver was, and I asked when I was at the hotel, I said, can you get me an Uber ride to the hotel, to the airport? And they said, Uber's not allowed in Germany. It's not legal for them to operate here. They're not allowed to put anybody on the road in Europe, in Germany. And I thought, whoa, that's interesting. They're doing that because the cab drivers in Europe make huge amounts of money in some of these major cities. Even Paris is pretty expensive. Now, Italy, before they went to the Euro, was pretty cheap. And cabs in Italy are still pretty inexpensive, but you've got to watch them down there because they'll lie and cheat you like you can't even imagine. And same thing in Athens. Athens was a bunch of thieves and a bunch of cheats with the cab drivers. That's why we used Uber everywhere we went. We could literally go from the hotel, which was 3 or 4 miles away from the Parthenon. We could literally go over there for $3. I mean, it was nothing. That's three of us in the taxi. So it was a lot easier than walking. But guys, think through all the stuff they're doing, too, from the revenue stream. I'm not saying that these guys haven't done this. I'm not saying these Muslims haven't done this. But what I'm saying is this. Seems funny to me now that England's talking about the Muslim cab drivers raping people in there, and they never want to talk about multiculturalism yet as far as all the other people who get raped in London on a regular basis. So to me, it seems like a lot of obfuscation. But I don't know, Austin. It probably is a correct story. I just don't know. By the way, according to Breitbart, fans who are wanting more filthy stuff on the movies, I guess, are petitioning to make Wonder Woman bisexual in the superhero sequel. which I figured was going there because that island was pretty gay that she was on, pretty lesbian. Hundreds of Wonder Woman fans have signed a petition urging the filmmakers behind this summer blockbuster hit to write up what they say is a superhero Diana Prince's obvious bisexuality into the script for the upcoming sequel. And I quite frankly believe they'll probably end up doing this because I know with that one movie with Charlize Theron, who has long been accused of being a lesbian, whether that's true or not, I don't know. That last movie she did, Atomic Blonde, that I refused to go see, she was in the previews openly kissing another female. Guys, we can't endorse this stuff with our money by going to these movies that do this and giving this box office revenue for that, because if we do it, all we do is reinforce it, and they continue to put filth out. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. When you vote with your dollars, we've said that numerous times, when you're going through and you're giving money to these movie theaters and you're giving money to these movies that are coming out and they're absolutely diametrically opposed to your beliefs, you're supporting them. Same thing with restaurants.
Right.
That's why I never go to Starbucks, which granted I don't drink coffee anyways, but you have companies that are absolutely blatantly anti-gun, they're anti-marriage, they're anti-Christian, they're anti, you know, as far as they're pro-abortion, and people still, you Christians all the time, oh yeah, I'm going to Starbucks, isn't that? You're going there, giving your dollars, and you're supporting all the stuff that you're essentially totally against. It's hypocritical. You can't do that. Also, too, in other news, as far as we were just talking about, with this whole transgender thing and everything else that's going on now, this is pretty crazy now. Florida parents are outraged up in Tallahassee after a teacher demands that her fifth graders use gender-neutral pronouns when they speak to her. Over the past year, we've observed an amazement as all these different institutions, primarily colleges now, are replacing pronouns for politically incorrect hate speech. Like they've said now that freshmen, the word freshman, is hate speech now. And now it's getting worse and worse. Fifth grade class in Tallahassee, the parents were shocked when they received a letter from Mix Bresic, I'm saying MX, who's demanding that her students only refer to her using a gender-neutral pronoun. And she sent a letter out to the students and to the parents pretty much bragging about this. She wants to be named Mix Bresic, MX, period, not Mrs., not MRS. In the start of the article, she goes, one thing that you should know about me, about middle, halfway through the letter she sent to the parents and students, one thing you should know about me is that I only use gender-neutral terms. My prefix is MX, period, pronounced mix. Additionally, my pronouns are they, them, and their, instead of he, his, she, or hers. I know it takes some practice for this to feel natural, but my experience, students catch on pretty quickly. We are not going for absolute perfection, but just making an effort. Please feel free to reach out to me in administration if you have any questions. My priority is for all my students to be comfortable in my classroom and have a space where they can be themselves. We'll have a lot of fun activities planned this year, and I'm so excited to have you in my team. I can't wait to get to know all of you. Your teacher, Mix Bresic. And apparently a bunch of parents went on Facebook and wrote to the principal and absolutely they didn't take it well at all. They went blatantly saying on there, is this for real? This has to be a joke. One lady said, it's not about teaching, it's about liberal programming. This is a comment she wrote. It is your job to teach math and science, so stick to that and get a new science teacher who knows enough science to know that there really are just two genders, male and female. The rest is political correct garbage made up by people. There aren't 270 different genders made up by idiots, not by nature. And what's sad part is the principal, Paul Lambert, went in and essentially took her side. He said, we support her preference and how she's addressed. We certainly do. I think a lot of times it might be decided that there's an agenda here because of her preference. I can tell you her only agenda is teaching math and science at the greatest level she can. And so far, the parents are still outraged about this, trying to get this addressed. But this is where it's going now. Remember, they've been doing this in schools, middle schools, elementary, high schools, all over the place now, where teachers and principals are demanding you refer to other students with their gender-neutral pronouns. Now the professors are coming in, the teachers are coming in, and demand you only refer to them and their gender-neutral pronouns. This is all about completely and totally literally ruining the culture of this country, training these kids with the mind control techniques that they've learned through psychology for years and years and years now, to make these kids adapt and believe that this is acceptable behavior, and that we have 200 plus gender nouns that you can be called, and you can essentially be any gender you want. And as I've said before, this is all leading up to bringing in the legality of pedophilia. This is where it's going, guys. This is all what it's about now, is bringing in this absolutely polluted, twisted, sadistic culture that these guys are involved in, because now they're going to say, oh, well, it wasn't wrong that I raped this 10-year-old girl because I identify as a 10-year-old boy, and she didn't say no to me as I was a 10-year-old boy, so it's okay that I went ahead and did this. That sounds bizarre, guys, but give it another 10 years of this unbelievably idiotic behavior that they're doing. The problem is, these guys don't think it's idiotic behavior. They truly believe this wholeheartedly, that this is how it's supposed to be, that you have to refer to them in their gender-neutral pronouns, or essentially, you're being offensive, and you're saying hate speech now is what they're referring to it as, if you refuse to call them by the names that they demand. This is where it's going now, Dad, in the public school system.
It's up. I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to ruffle a few feathers, but I'm going to say it anyhow, because what difference does it make if I ruffle feathers anymore? I mean, I've ruffled so many feathers now that whoever's listening to us still loves us, regardless of how many feathers we ruffle.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference. The National Teachers Union is run primarily, not totally, but run primarily by liberal, feminist lesbians. Most of them are extremely obese and extremely ugly. And that's the thing that blows my mind, because these women are just complete and total losers in their life. And the problem is that they're given authority in a classroom, and now when they have the ability to directly affect these young minds and these young lives, they take advantage of these children. That's what they're doing in fifth grade. They're taking advantage of these children, and they're really confusing the issue. And what really blows my mind is that this teacher, principal, is endorsing her and agreeing with what she's saying, because it just shows you that he needs to grow a set and stop basically groveling at the feet of these militant lesbians. And now, that's just your bottom line. I mean, I have seen it in the teachers' unions for decades. I was a college professor for years back in the early 80s, from 1981 and 1982. I saw it there, and how almost the entire administrative staff was run by a bunch of dykes. And you're going, I can't believe you call them a dyke. Well, what do you mean to call them? Lesbian? Okay, but run by a bunch of lesbians who were dykes? I just thought I'd mention that. And it's nauseating to me, Austin. It's just absolutely nauseating to me that these guys have the ability to affect the children. That's why these same women hate homeschoolers. They hate them. They don't want homeschool children in their classrooms. That's why when Harrison started the secular college here in town with the dual enrollment program in high school in 10th grade, when the teachers saw him and saw that he was a Christian, this is Austin's brother, my youngest son, a lot of them really pushed him and worked him to accept alternative lifestyles of some of the professors that were over there. And Harrison had been raised as a homeschooler and basically said, no way, I'm not dealing with these guys, they're a bunch of whack bags. That's what happens when you get involved in the school systems with gays. They're militant. They don't want to be gay without influencing their children to be gay also. Now, I'm going to say that again. The vast majority of these guys that are these militant homosexuals, they're basically recruiting on college campuses, and also in high school. Now we see all the way to the fifth grade. They're recruiting on these elementary school levels now to bring in as many militant homosexuals, lesbians, and to confuse as many people with gender identity as they possibly can. Quite frankly, I think these people are a giant steaming sack of methane, and they shouldn't even be allowed to be in the public school settings and be allowed to be around our children. Now, that's about as direct as I can be on that one. That's pretty awful. By the way, 1 million Ohio public employees now are facing massive pension cuts as another state-sponsored Ponzi scheme teeters on the brink. We've talked about this so many times, and how many. There are so many states now all over the country that are insolvent because they've allowed themselves to accept these huge pension programs. And here's why that happens. The different people that are on the mayor and the city commissioners and all these people, they vote on this stuff because they're employees of the city. And they vote to give themselves these giant pensions, and they don't even think about the legacy costs down the road. If you have two or three people that are retired and that's all you have, you can pretty much pay that. It's not a problem. You start getting tens of thousands of people that are retired who are drawing anywhere from 50 to 80% of their salary when they work 10, 15, 20 years earlier. There's simply not enough tax revenue coming in from the tax base to pay this. It's a giant Ponzi scheme, and it simply doesn't work. The people that work for cities and governments, they need to realize that in the long term, they're not going to have a pension. They need to do what the rest of us do, save their money, put it into investments, make sure they pay in what they can as far as, or try to avoid Social Security. I wish they would just let us not pay Social Security, not pay that nonsense in, and invest it the way we want. But guys, this is going to happen all over the country because these states don't have the right to go in, like Austin was talking about, and bring up another credit card. They don't have that. Yeah. They can't just start printing money and paying these guys like they do. I mean, Congress, after 2 years, gets a lifetime pension of their salary. What is it, $150,000, $180,000 a year forever? Who signed for that? I didn't vote for that, Austin. I never voted for that. They've exempted themselves from Obamacare. I mean, they have their own medical program. They vote themselves. This is what happens at the city level. That's why there's so much corruption from the city to the county, to the state, to the national elections, because these guys get in and they do what they want to do to feather their own pockets and get their own. They'll pass legislation to rezone an area, and they know that somebody's going to be putting warehouses there, and then they sell the places to the warehouse for millions of dollars, get huge commissions on it. This is why so many people who go into public service in the states, cities, et cetera, and counties, they become multimillionaires from these jobs that pay anywhere from $5,000 to $40,000 a year. Why? Because they have the inside knowledge of everything that's going on. And in many cases, not in all cases, but in many cases, they're paid lucrative salaries after they get out in order to get things passed. I remember there was a guy who was on a city commission here, county commissioner, who passed a bunch of zoning changes for a giant school that got put up outside of town here. And ended up, we find out later, they were paying him $50,000 a year as a consulting fee. Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. I see it all the time. That's why I've done everything I can in my entire career to stay out of county, state politics. Because quite frankly, they wouldn't like me anyhow, Austin, because I'd be calling them all out for what they were doing. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is what we've seen. You see it everywhere. Every city, county, they do it all. And that's one of the biggest aspects that they have to start looking at now is it may sound good and gravy to be like, oh yeah, let's increase our pension. Oh yeah, let's increase our salary. Let's do this. Let's make more money. But as you just said, it always comes home to roost because eventually when you start having dozens, you know, hundreds of people, thousands sometimes that are all drawing off that, it runs out, as we're seeing that happen all over the country now in multiple different states. Also, too, this is a positive now. The D.C. court has now ruled the warrantless Stingray cell phone surveillance tool unconstitutional. The Stingray system, I talked about this last year, it's a law enforcement tracking tool that's essentially a cell site simulator to track a suspect's phone without any type of warrant. And the D.C. Court of Appeals now said Thursday in a landmark ruling for privacy and Fourth Amendment rights that it pertains to policing tactics and is unconstitutional. The ruling could have broad implications for law enforcement's use of cell site simulators, which local police and federal agencies can use at will to mimic a cell phone tower to the phone, connect to the device instead of its regular network, and listen to all cell phone conversations. The D.C. Court of Appeals determined the use of the cell site simulator to locate a person through his or her cell phone invades the person's actual, legitimate, and reasonable expectation of privacy and his or her location, information, and search. And as you guys know what the Fourth Amendment is, I mean, we already understand that, and I'll read it just so you guys remember, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And this whole Stingray cell phone system that they've had out for years now is beyond unconstitutional. The sad part is now they will probably try to come up with some type of other device or some other tactic to be a workaround of this. But I was happy to see the D.C. Court of Appeals at least stood up for something for the time being when it came to our privacy and unlawful search and seizure, Deb.
Well, they're going to still use it. It doesn't make any difference. There's
yeah,
telling
that's
anybody.
The issue.
They'll use it, garner evidence, and then turn right back around and find another way to collect the evidence and not disclose how they got the original evidence. This is how they do. This is what they've been doing for years.
Yep.
Wiretaps. They do the illegal wiretaps all the time. I mean, they do all kinds of crazy nonsense because they want to hear what people are saying in private. I mean, it's just what they do. I remember I had a friend of mine years ago. They actually were involved in a lawsuit against a TV evangelist. And yes, I've seen it all, folks. I could tell you stories that make your toes curl. And I remember every time you call these people up, their phones were clicking because they were all, every one of their phones was being censored, being monitored. Every phone was being monitored. And they'd say right on the phone, by the way, this phone's being listened to, by the way, right now. This is what my friends are telling me. You can hear by the clicking noises on here that we're being recorded right now. And I'm like, this is nuts. And of course, all that was illegal. That's what they do. That's how they get it done. By the way, shock, the White House Chief of Staff, here we go. We're talking about General, now here we go, John Kelly. We talked about it all week. General John Kelly, White House Chief of Staff, voted for Hillary in the election. How about that one, boys and girls? A top Republican advisor has revealed the shocking fact that Trump White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, was a liberal who voted for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. Speaking for Fox Business host Lou Dobbs, Republican campaign consultant Ed Rollins shockingly had claimed that, according to the sources, Kelly supported the failed Clinton campaign and may actually be a sort of deep state operative in the White House. Hello! Been saying that all week, to specifically take out the Trump agenda. Quote, what I have heard from my sources inside who know Kelly, who is an honorable man and was a good general, he didn't vote for Trump, he voted for Hillary, Rollins said. So I don't think he's basically a Trump supporter or ideologically a Trump supporter. Guys, this is what... Let me ask you guys a question. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Kushner, Ivanka Trump, Kushner, Shabbat Kabbalists, Hardcore Democrats. Do you really think if Donald Trump hadn't been running that they would have voted for the Republican nominee? Really? They'd have voted for Hillary too. He has surrounded himself with just, in German you'd call it Pack und Gesindel, just scum of people who believe this horrible ideology of the Democratic Party, and he has left these people in power and taken almost all of the true nationalists who helped get him elected out of positions of authority in his White House. Guys, thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you so much for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I will be on with Hagman tonight. Austin will be on Hagman tonight. And my wife Sharon will be on Hagman tonight. Please listen to the show from 7 to 10 tonight. We're going to be covering a bunch of different topics that we haven't covered today. And I want you guys to know that we love you and we appreciate you. When you get your multiple vitamins from us and you get your B vitamins and your vitamin C and your vitamin D and your iodine and all the things from us, it makes such a huge difference. And just a real quick update, we have a new protocol, as I talked about in just a second. It's called the Maximum Energy Protocol. It's going to be available. So, guys, God bless you. Again, thanks for your support. Thanks for your prayers. And thanks for listening to my politically incorrect diatribe today. I'm sure I'll get letters from the National Education Association. Guys, God bless you. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll talk to you in a bit. Show's yours. I'll do the write-up.
Sounds good, bud. Yeah, we always get lots of good emails all the time. They're always pretty interesting. So we appreciate all the support from everybody. Hold on a second here. There we go. The headset was being a little weird there. But yes, we put a kit together because we had a lot of people asking about it. What's the best, easiest way to get a energy protocol together as far as a good nutrients for a energy stack? And we put together the Maximum Energy Kit just because it was good name, simple kit. We basically put together the Ultimate Multiple, the B Complex, the Adrenal Support, and the Cortisol Buster. Very, very good protocol. Dad and I, pretty much everybody takes all those four products every single day. But as far as a base kit that a lot of people have been requesting has been an energy kit, and that's it as far as really good. We got them like 8% off right now with free shipping. It was a pretty good product kit as far as the sale on it. Definitely something you need to check out on the website at healthmasters.com. Also, too, I saw another article a minute ago now. They're talking about how Coca-Cola is now sucking water wells dry all over the country. This has been going on. Now there's another one down in Mexico. They've literally watched their wells dry up. The Coca-Cola bottling plant, which in order to keep up with demand, is consuming now 1.08 million gallons of water per day just last year. This is one of the thousands of towns across Mexico where corporate water consumption has taken precedent over local need. We've seen this out in Nevada and also out in California now, where a lot of these big companies have come in and they literally pay $100, $200, $300, $400 for a water permit. They can pump all year, and they literally go through, if not hundreds, they go through thousands of millions of gallons. I mean, you start getting up in the billions range every single year. And this is definitely an issue. This is happening a lot now. And the big problem with it is soda. And these companies are having such a high demand because soda, soft drinks, have turned into pretty much the primary drinking substance of the United States, which is very, very sad to me. That's why I talk about it all the time. Sodas are something, in my opinion, you should never touch. There's no reason to even drink them, period. Then, not only is there no nutritional value whatsoever, all they have is negative side effects with them, from the high fructose corn syrup to the sucralose if you're on a diet, to the phosphoric acid, to the caramel color, to the artificial flavors. There's really no legitimate purpose, so stay away from that stuff. So, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for dealing with us. Thank you for listening to us. And thank you for supporting us all the time at healthmasters.com. We're getting ready tonight for the show for the Hagmans. Should be a pretty fun show. We got a lot of different stuff to cover, even more on than we covered today. So there'll be a lot of good stuff on there to go with. So we appreciate everything, guys. If you need anything, email us at healthmasters.com or give us a call on our phone number at 1-800-726-1834. We're always here to try and help you guys out the best we can and provide the best nutritional service possible. So we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for the support. You have a blessed, safe night, and hopefully you listen to the show tonight, and you guys have an awesome weekend, and you'll hear back from us on the Ted and Austin Brower Show again on Monday, as always.